League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, and some of Non-League's finest. Well, in fact, Non-League's very finest. First up, ahead of one of his biggest weekends for years, it is stalwart of the show, our manager at Chertsey Town FC, Mr. Dave Anderson. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
And it's a chilly evening.
To say the very least, yeah.
I say a big weekend because it's FA Vars last 16 and your boys are there with a big away day ahead on Saturday up to Earlham in Manchester. Well, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this Thursday night and in all honesty, the signs aren't really good. We've seen some pictures of their pitch today and the whole area has been hit badly as we've seen on the news and that. So, I think it's a big outside bet the game will be off. But at the moment, we've got to approach it. I haven't spoken to my players about that. You have to sort of approach it as if it's on. But they've been in contact, their secretary to our secretary, and they've been really good about informing us where they are with it, you know. But it's a real... It's not a letdown. It's just a real pain for everyone because of there's been an awful lot of preparation going in on our part to travel. And I'm sure on their part, it's a game that they've publicised, and you know to put it off, which it looks like we're going to have to, is. But that's, I suppose, that's part of February in Britain, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean the logistics are trying to for you guys to get up to Manchester difficult. Now, obviously, we spoke to Needham Market earlier on in the season, who withdrew from the trophy because their game at Weymouth on the Saturday was cancelled. Then they just couldn't make the Tuesday night. Yeah. Getting from Chertsey just north round the M25 on a Tuesday night is difficult enough.
Yeah. Well, I think with the Vaz, it's a different criteria. I think we'll get to go next Saturday or Saturday week or however you want to look at it because of the level. Because I doubt we could go on Tuesday. I don't think it would be possible for me to raise a side. I understand that the Vaz is a different ball game and it's a higher level, and I felt for Needham Market, I think we all did in the situation that we're put in. But for us, what we're doing behind the scenes is sort of half arranging our weekend so that we train, we've then a league game on Tuesday, and then looking to really do Saturday week what we were meant to do this weekend, you know.
Yeah, it's difficult. So you're having to sort of put plan B, plan C in place. Mm.
And some people think, as a manager, I don't have a plan B, so we're in trouble, you know.
so it's tough when you even know who you're playing against.
Yeah.
But must be even tougher when you get to this stage of the competition and then you're thrown out a week or so after the draw's been made. That's happened to God Manchester Rovers and Coventry United.
This has happened before over our many years of doing this, and I've always failed for them because I'm a football manager, but it's a lot closer to home this year. You know, it's a competition I'm in. It's two teams we're aware of, and it's a tragic. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I think it's just ineligible players, but we have been petrified, a bit strong, but I have been really nervous of this because I don't know why it's the FA system or this, how we find out who's suspended, who's not suspended. But my player coach, Kevin McLaren, he got two bookings earlier on. And I think it's once you get two yellows, you miss the next.
Yeah, it's tournament rules this year.
Yes, which I agree with, but everybody needs to know where and more. Where they are with it. I mean, lucky enough, my secretary made us aware of it, but I don't think we'd any official confirmation
of
it. Well,
that was a point I was going to make. We've got all this investment at the higher levels of VAR, cameras here, there and everywhere, whereas actually, like the sin bin idea coming in at step 7, we're going to be trialists for that at grassroots level. a little bit of investment in a computerized system that flashed up in the face of your secretary. I've constantly said it's the worst job in the world. You know, it makes you nervous just filling in the team sheet that you're going to make an error.
Yeah.
But if there's this other thing nagging in the back of your mind, have I double checked? Have I triple checked? And we've had the issue, you know, already this season with different players registered under different names, and even when people have checked their passport, national insurance numbers, but there's been a slight inaccuracy, and it's that the FA say, sorry, that's the rules. And I know we have to have rules and rules, but it's the timing of things as well, isn't it? You know, if there was a bit more investment in some system that helped these guys that are volunteers that are doing it for nothing, and you've experienced this in the past. Listen, when a secretary gets it wrong, they are normally the nicest, the loveliest people, and it's horrifying for them.
It is. Well, I had the big one at Wimbledon. I to this day I feel for the secretary Trevor. You know, and we're still friends. I still would see him the odd time, but it's a monumental mistake. You know, and the fall on one person's head. But my big thing is that, look, we don't send registration forms by carrier pigeon anymore. The world's moved on. We're in a, you know, where we are in today's world, surely there's a bit of kit that any non-league team clicks on their team and it goes, bing, Tim Fuel suspended. Now, I know we have to take responsibility as well, but I think our responsibility should be that we check the website. And the website, maybe that's a Freudian slip, to be fair, but the website needs to be top drawer. It needs to be, you know, my goodness, we're talking about footballers who get 150,000, 200, 300, pick a number, 1,000 a week that play football now. The FA is a multi-million pound sort of company, if you like. I just think they need to sort it out. I just need... We're volunteer. Well, you know, a lot of people around non-league are volunteers and are going to get crucified for what's happened. Now, there is a responsibility that you check, but surely there's a responsibility to the FA or whatever county or whatever league who are affiliated to the FA who should still have the kit downloaded to their system. Surely it can be sorted out because... You know, they have to take responsibility. It's all right for the FA to go, yeah, I'm sorry, you're out, that's the rules. They've just ruined two teams.
Wait, we're also always banging on about getting more people, new volunteers through the door.
Yeah.
And then you see people being hung out to dry. Now, again, you know, you mentioned Trevor. No one ever at the club, you know, sort of pins it on that one person. But there's still, if you're that one person, I'm sure it's still a weight on your shoulders and it's still...
It's terrible. It's a terrible responsibility, but it's a situation where we need to get someone from the FA on. We need to get someone on to tell us why it's not right. Why isn't the website in a situation where it's foolproof? And foolproof means Dave Anderson go on and look in and see who's suspended, who's not suspended. Is that too much to ask for? I don't think it is. And then. If the club make a mistake and the secretary makes a mistake, well, then I think you go, okay, well, look, it's playing. You know, Dave Anderson can use it. So, surely you can use it. But as a football manager, I desperately feel for them. Look, and I mean this, but, you know, in the situation, we're still in it. But so effectively what they're saying is two of the better sides went out because the teams that they beat will now come back in, which weakens the tournament. I say that with a pinch of salt because it's a cup competition and on your day, but I just think it's wrong. I think that there's too much grey area with. There's too much. I mean, I've spoken to my secretary. I kid you not. I've spoken to my secretary 5 or 6 times in the last 10 days about this to make sure we've got it right, and you know. Bless him, he's just got back off. He was away on a cruise and I'm torturing him about he's on the website. He can't work it out. We're not sure that the Surrey FA are saying one thing, the FA website's showing another thing. It's, you know, I swear this is true. I read 3 emails, right, about Where are
I believe you've read three emails.
about this, about suspensions in the Vaz and suspensions in the league, because we're doing okay in the league. I'm banging things. I'm quite.
The arms are out.
I'm quite animated because it annoys me. You know, and I read the three emails, and I still didn't know, because the way that it was worded and the way the systems are, I actually let someone. I says, read that. Tell me what that means. Does that mean so? Get someone from the FA on. Let's find out where we are with it. You know, and while you're on, we'll talk about referees, because that's another.
Oh, really? You know, hopefully we've got something coming up with referees in next week, if we can.
We need the help.
We're already in conversation with all the right people.
I've digressed a little bit because I was thinking about my own game salary. But yeah, for me, you know, there's 600 odd teams in this competition. It's a magnificent competition. And if you're one of the two sides.
Manchester, Rovers and Coventry United, who I think have made this round for the first time ever in their history, celebrating that. Yeah, and
shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't.
But, I mean, that was if you're now the manager of one of those sides that have been chucked out, and, you know, you're having a great season, probably, like yourselves, you know, top of your league, a lot of these clubs, because that's the way it goes, the momentum's going. Yeah. Does that sort of derail everything? Oh, relationships with players, other people at the club?
I think anybody that listens to this, or you, or anybody you talk to, will go, it's blatantly obvious. I mean, you know, I think we did a little thing on, or someone did a review of the Vaz, and I think ourselves at that time, although we're second now, there was us and three other teams who were top. I think surely we won them, and we've got the manager on a bit. At least we've something else in the picture, you know, if we get knocked out of the Vaz. But the clubs who are not going to win their division and who have dropped into maybe the top half of the league or whatever it is and are still in the FA Vaz, it is their season. And they get knocked out on a technicality. And don't get me wrong, there is a responsibility, you know, for the checks. But please give us some kit that makes it foolproof for volunteers. Now, how do them secretaries feel? I know how I'd feel as a manager. You know, it's happened to me at Wimbledon. It destroys the dressing room. You have to work so hard to build it up. Your relationship, lucky enough, my relationship with the secretary was fine. And I actually thought that, although it's a different rule, it was nonsense anyway. But in this situation, this could... You know, this could break down some relationships that are vital at a football club. And, you know, if someone's at the FA going, well, it's quite easy, well, come on and tell us. And come on and show us and tell it. Because I don't think it is. And I think if it was that easy, there's no way these two teams would have made a mistake like that.
Yeah, you mentioned at the start about the logistics of your organising your game and all that sort of thing. How does it work when you're the opposition manager? We'll speak to Dave Diaper at Scholing in a minute, who it has happened to. But if you were that opposition manager, you might have done your scouting reports already on the opposition. We were lucky here that the two sides that have been thrown out were actually drawn away in this round. But what if they've been drawn at home? Yeah. What if it was, you know, you're planning a trip to Manchester and then suddenly you've got to go to deepest Essex on a Saturday instead? There needs to be the practicalities again, always sort of shout in your face when it happens. So, you know, again, people need to think about it.
Yeah, they do. And I've heard it's ineligible players. I don't know where it was, a player suspended or is that what they get on both cases? As we know, the rules have changed. I think that rule has changed for the better, where they, you know, it's a little bit harsh, two bookings, you miss the next match all the way up until, I think, whoever wins our game on Saturday,
and
it wipes out for the next round. But I do like that they've tried to do that, so that they're trying to make people not suffer in the league, that miss a trip to Wembley because they've been booked in the league, you know. So I think that's fine. I think two bookings, you know, you might get one booking, which I've spoke to like a couple of my players who are on one booking from three games ago. That's a bit harsh. You get booked in maybe the first game, and you get booked in the set and you miss.
This was a discussion I had, this week with somebody else. So you've got, if you're coming in at the buys, if you're coming in at a later round, have you then got an advantage because your players have been playing it since an earlier round, so they've had it hanging over them?
Yeah.
Then if you're coming in at, you know, last round where the National League came in a trophy and it.
Yeah, but I think that that's in all combat. You know, if you've earned the right to come in later, then, you know,
it's an extra bonus.
It's a bonus, and you've earned the right to have that bonus. But I do agree that to make it sort of the FA VAS is separate from the league. I get that, and I think that's a reasonable idea. But give us some kit that, as I've said a million times, that's foolproof.
Well, try it. And our next guest can probably tell us how unsettling it has all been, being that home club and then finding out you're playing different opposition.
Yeah, is the Scholey manager and it's coming on. I want you to ask him what formation they play, who their best players. I'm only joking. But listen, I'm not counting my chickens. We have a very, very difficult trip to Manchester. But yes, it'll be interesting to see what he's got to say about it.
Now, way back in those BBC days, I met our next guest at Wembley a few days before his side went on to win the FA VAS in 2014. It was one of those moments that, as a neutral but also a non-league fan, it makes you feel warm inside, because Dave Diper is Mr. Scholey. And indeed, he's been there a very long time. He topped over 1,000 games for the club this season and is currently managing the side into the FA VAS fifth round, whilst they remain unbeaten in the Wessex Premier League. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Dave. Not a bad season so far, then.
No, pretty good so far. You know, very positive things without the club, throughout the club, to be honest with you. We're on a good run at the moment. Our front two have scored 80 goals between them, Lee Ward and Dan Mason. We played Slough Town in the FA Cup, and they only beat us on a replay. So, yeah, things are pretty good at the moment, it's showing.
Yeah, we'll start with the FA VAS then this weekend. Now, Dave Anderson and I have just been discussing the issues with clubs being thrown out of the competition for ineligible players. And that's affected you this weekend, preparing for a visit of God Manchester Rovers and now working in Sporting Kowser. How much does that disrupt your preparations?
Yeah, it does, to be honest with you. I travelled up to Wolverhampton on Saturday to look at Sporting Kowser and just sort of give them a once-over, etc. We would have done the same thing for Go Manchester Rovers. But, I think it's just the introduction of these new rules. Sometimes it catches the admin side out, and, you know, it's no fault of the secretaries. But I think sometimes the FA have got to think twice about sort of introducing things, you know. So it makes it very difficult.
Yeah, to be fair, Dave, I said more or less the same thing, only a little bit stronger, just before we got in touch with you. We've had the same sort of issue where I've been you start to get paranoid. So I've been sort of double checking, you know, bookings, the league versus the VAS, and just to make sure there's no mistakes. But the system seems more difficult to understand than it should be.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, it's about having, well, two bookings basically, isn't it? I mean, that's the problem, you know. It's hard enough to run a club from the secretary's point of view anyway. And if you start introducing these things, it's like checking, you're dead right. I mean, I phone the Hampshire FA up, for instance, and say, is there any outstanding fines, you know? Yeah. Because you just can't be too cautious, because, if you get chucked out of a sort of a quarter final, horrendous, you know? Yeah. So, it's not nice. But it's part of the game now. That, you know, I think they've introduced quite a few things which, I don't know, going back 15 or 20 years, you think, the game's changed so much, to be honest with you. Some for the good, but not all for the good. And, I still like seeing a tackle now and again, but that's not allowed either.
No, it's not. No, I think heading and tackling will have become obsolete, you know, in a few years. But I tell you what is good, you know, obviously keeping an eye on yourselves, because we're both in the same competition. But the last time I looked, you were something like plus 50 goals and 15 points clear in the league. Is that, that's roughly about right, is it?
Yeah, that's right. we've been very consistent, but, you know, football can change ever so quick. You know, we know that. You know, I think last year was all about preparation for this year, really, to be fair. You know, it's a situation where some of the lads have chalked up 500, 600 games. So you don't get really that often in football for non-league that you get that many appearances. But no, it's a tight-knit bunch of players. I operate off a squad of about 19 to 20, and I rotate quite often. And but you know, it's when we won the Vars back in 2014, we definitely weren't the best team in the competition without doubt, because we played in the fifth round against Lara Cool at our place, funny enough, and I had about 80% possession, I'd say. I hit the post, but we just had one of those days where we had probably two opportunities and we took one of them. So, you know, it's on the day. I think Lady Luck, you know, has got a lot to do with it. Great. As well. But it is about having that self-belief, you know. We've got the experience. We know how hard and difficult it is to reach these later stages of competition. And, you know, but it is literally down to the day and what will be.
Yeah, I mean, the people at our place sort of, you know, like I'm sure your place, they're desperate to do well in it. And I say, look, you know, you really judge a manager on a league. And 10 bad minutes in any cup and you're out of it, you know, whereas, you know, 10 bad minutes in a league game and you get the chance to recover. But in the situation you're in now, Dave, without asking you what your team's going to be, but you get to, and I'm thinking about if it's me and I'm 15 points ahead in the league, and I'm plus 50 goals, which is effectively another point. You will get the chance to basically rest whatever you want to rest before a Vars game.
To be honest with you, I've got sort of 18 and 19 players of all the sort of similar ability. The only different thing is their age, their ages. I mean, I've got sort of 18, 19 year olds who are still learning the game a little bit, but yeah. It's about trusting your players, you know, and I say to my guys that come in, it only takes one split second just to switch off, just to hit a back pass or, you know, give away a free kick on the, you know, edge of the box, and you're out of the competition. So it's desperate that you actually get a situation where you actually trust players. You've got to trust players, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's fine lines, and especially in the Vars and these cup competitions, especially as you get into the later rounds. But it's about enjoyment as well, because you know you've got to enjoy it, haven't you?
Yeah, if I ever find out how to do that, I'll let you know. But I mean, there's a couple of things, you know, just when you look at the appearances, you know, 400, 500, 600, you know, there's obviously a great relationship. I think when you've three or four or five players that have sort of broke 300 games with you, you must get on well. You must have a trust.
It is about that trust, yeah. And it's about, you know, having more than sort of like four or five people on the field doing your job for you as well. Yeah. We've got great understanding, you know. But I've just got to look at players. I haven't really got to say much. I've just got to look at players and they know where I'm coming from. I'm quite disciplined. I'm a little bit old school, really, to be honest with you.
It's nothing wrong with that.
Effort. It's about total effort, commitment, passion, desire. And, you know, if I don't get that, even from the best player, they won't be playing in this game, similar as, you know.
Yeah.
And I've always approached it in that manner. And, you know, with Shonan Football Club, since we won the Vars, literally everybody wants to beat you. So we're having a cup final, so to speak, every game we play, you know.
Yeah.
So it's something you get used to. It's never easy. Well, you know yourself, management is a nightmare. And I actually said to a few of my mates probably 15 years ago, don't get into it because it takes your life over.
Well, I actually get out of it for 3 years and get talked back into it. I've still no idea. Why, you know. Listen, just on a totally different one, you now go to play Sporting as opposed to God Manchester, yeah?
Yeah.
And a hand on heart, and don't tell me you don't care, because I'm not taking that as an answer. If you had the choice of one or the other, who would you play?
I'll be honest about it. I mean, this is the first time I've ever travelled away to sort of see the opposition, because even when we won the Vars, it was it's always about us. It's about what we do.
Yeah.
But this time I thought it was about it's important to check on the set pieces, etc. I personally think it's only my, you know, because I haven't really seen the other club. But I just got a gut feeling that Sporting Carsley were poor on the day. They had a couple of players who scored more goals than the opposition. But I think they had one of those days where they just didn't turn up. Now, that's a dangerous animal because they've already been knocked out of competition once. And obviously now, they know what that feels like. It's not nice. So they're going to be galvanised now. We know that. But like I say, it's about us and what we do. We know that if we go out there and we fight for each other, you know, high-tempo game, etc., we're going to give anybody a good game. And like I say, I'm a great believer in what will be. I'll put that over to the players as well. All we can do is do our best, make sure we concentrate for 90 minutes or 92, 93 minutes or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, we got a good chance of getting through. But if it's not to be, it's not to be. And we'll shake your hands of the opposition manager and move on.
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, I've hoarded the interview because I've been interested because obviously I'm in it. I mean, I sincerely hope that if we bump into you, there's a big arch above us, you know.
I'd say
to that, I certainly wish you well. But Tim's looking at me here because I've hogged the interview, you know.
It's always good to hear managers talk. That's another podcast coming soon, managers talking.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
you've experienced that magic of winning the FA Vars at Wembley before. Would it be just as magical?
How many players played in it that are still with you? Just, I'm jumping in.
I've got 6 players who are still with me.
Wow. Sorry.
That's an experience that they can all take with. Yeah. Would it be as magical to win it the second time round?
Yeah, of course it would. I mean,
is it like going to Disney the second time and you're sort of looking for different things that you missed out last time?
I mean, you know, to be honest, you know, it's such a great day. You can't really, you can't explain the way you feel. It's just tremendous and it's great for the players. But I will say that it's not a place to go there and lose.
Yeah.
I mean, people say, oh, yeah, get to the final. You need to be at Wembley. No, it's not. You've got to go there and win. You've got to go and win, you know. Because I saw the face of the opposition manager and it wasn't nice, you know.
Yeah, no, I think I say to people, you know, there's the old saying is, oh, enjoy the occasion. I always say, don't worry about the occasion. Win the game, you can enjoy the occasion forever.
Well, that's it. You know? That's the difference. You know, to have that winner's medal makes a massive difference, you know. And, you know, because it does feel like a, you know, I could get to see it on the face of the West Auckland players. I mean, some of my players saw that as well. So that's pretty good for them to see it because they don't want to go to that place either, really. So, you know.
Yeah, you said that obviously clubs come to you now and it's a bit more like a cup final because you've got that Vars badge that you wear with pride. And how's that gelled the club as well? Because, you know, even when we spoke to you before, you were very much a community club. I mean, I think you were changing toilet rolls and everything at the football club. I'm guessing you're still doing everything at the club as well and proper hands-on to do with the club. But you've got, ladies' team, youth teams, reserve teams, disability teams. Is that... When you're having a great season like this, does that all thrive throughout the club as well?
It does. But, you know, we're a club that's really, you know, missing a hell of a lot of lack of investment, really. Like most clubs, I must say. But really, you know, our success on the field really hasn't been matched off the field. And that's the most frustrating thing for myself, you know, because, you know, we're in a situation really where, you know, obviously we got awarded the Budweiser money, 2 years ago. That's only been in our bank account probably 10 months. But also it needs to go towards a bigger project, which we're working on now, but it just takes so long, you know. It's just a shame, but, football, non-league football is really... You're so dependent on volunteers, you know. Yeah. Without those volunteers, it's just a nightmare. And you don't get the younger players coming through. You know, I say younger players, when they hang up their boots at 35, 36 or whatever, they don't come back to work behind the bar. They don't work selling programmes. They just disappear, you know, which is a shame, really, because it's down to the same people all the time, you know.
Yeah, we had a discussion earlier on the season, didn't we, about volunteers and how we can change that. But... You've obviously, you're saying that you've kept the 6 players from the Vars win before. You've got, Dan Mason scored 42 goals in 38 games this season. And, you know, finances do talk in non-league football. How do you keep hold of those players?
I'll tell you what. Sorry to interrupt a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very difficult to get players to leave. They enjoy themselves so much. It's the first thing I say to players.
Dave's looking forward to drawing you in the next round.
No, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not.
I mean, Slough Town, I mean, you know, obviously Dan Mason, he's come on. I've had him since he was like 15. And a lot of the players on my side, I've had since they were kids, really, yeah. You know. And I always say, we don't want to hold anybody back. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you look back on your career, it's about what you've won. That's the way I view it.
Yeah.
It's what you've won and not actually who you probably play for even. But you've got to have that camaraderie wherever you go. I think personally, Dan will probably go to Slough next year. I'd said to him, all I could do is give him some advice about, you know, leaving us. I said to him, Slough Town wanted to sort of sign him on a dual registration so he could play for us in the VAR still. And I said, no, I'm not about that. You know, yeah. I'm not going to keep somebody out as good as Dan is. I'll bring that reserve team player and I'll play him in front of Dan Mason, you know, because there's principles involved, you know. And I think, you know, personally, I've got principles. I think the whole club is based on those principles. And I really think that the players appreciate that. They know, you know, I've never given them any problems at all with anything. I say to them, look, you know, even if we lose, providing you give me everything out there, you know, you die for the cause, work ethic's really good, you're not going to have a problem with me. But as soon as that tails off, then we'll have problems. You know?
And what about you then, Dave? How come you've never moved on?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure, you know. I don't know, maybe...
Is it yet to come?
Well, I'm still ambitious, obviously, like everybody else. Yeah. The amount of work I do at the club, I mean, I've experienced every job at the club. I mean, you know, as you can imagine, you know, doing team talks, I've done now 1,020 team talks, and that takes some doing to make them all different for a start, yeah. You know.
I've done double, so don't worry about it. Get yourself an accent that goes down well.
But you know, I've worked behind the bar. I've worked on the gate. I've done every job. I've been a steward at a reserve game. I've even been chairman, obviously, when we won the VARs, I was chairman and manager. It was a situation where, you know, I think a lot of people know that how much, you know, the club means to me. But I'm still ambitious and sometimes I think to myself, you know, what could I have done, basically? And because it's about hard work with management, you know, me sort of like lying, you know, that as well as I do, you know, we don't get paid for it. You know, I've never been paid to manage, and you know, but I still have those sleepless nights. You know, I mean, if we lose 1-0 or if we lose 2-1, 3-0, or whatever. Yeah. I mean, if we don't get 3 points, you know, I'm conscientious and I'm, you know, I burn the midnight.
You've been sleeping well this year, son. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I've done bad. I must admit, you know.
Yeah, it's been fine,
man. So, ambition, VARs aside, you're top of the Wessex Premier. Before there, when you got relegated back down to Step 5, it was a groundgrading issue. Is everything all right to go up this year if you win the league?
Well, this is a problem we've got. We have got a problem with investment. We've got a situation this year where, obviously, if you win the league, you've got to go up. But I always say that I'm a businessman as well. I run, you know, run seven companies, and it's a situation where, you know, you've always got to be careful. You know, it's like somebody saying to you, okay, you've got a mortgage, but at the end of like April, we're going to be putting you into a bigger house. And you might say to me, well, I can't afford it, you know, and we'll say to you, well, I'm sure you will be after a year, but if not, go back down to a smaller one. And it's no different. I mean, sometimes they're holding guns to the heads of these clubs, you know, because it is about traveling. It is about more expenditure. And if you haven't got the more investment, so to speak, it's very difficult. And at the end of the day, it's got to add up. The figures have got to add up. And, you know, now also with the ground grading, you know, you've got to have an extra half a meter in the changing room and all this. I mean, it's like ridiculous. And I did say, you know, when I eventually do retire, I'll probably bring out a book on grassroots football and the lack of support, I would say, generally. And, you know, it's not nice.
Well, I guess the issue you've got as well, if people don't know where you are, you're literally a suburb of Southampton, I guess, is the best way of describing. But is that a bad way? I know probably Sholing people don't appreciate it But what I was going to talk about was the boundaries of the Southern League with the new divisions coming in as well this season. Yeah. Yeah. There's a possibility you'd be moved into the Isthmian League, which means up the M3 and across the A27 on a Tuesday night.
Well, that's the problem. Like I say, it's I don't know. I think it's very difficult. I mean, I've managed at that level. Obviously, we went up and, you know, we made the playoffs the first year, and I think we made the playoffs like 2 or 3 years. But at the end of the day, it caught up with us in the ground grading side of it. Obviously, this money which we have from Budweiser was initially I thought we could use straight away, but it's always got to be part of a bigger scheme. And sometimes you get through so many sort of stages of it, and then you find, actually, you know, if we need to do the car park at the same time as the main clubhouse, it's going to go over budget. And then you always end up like £150,000 to £200,000 short. So you're back to square one again. So it's difficult, you know, it really is. And, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wants to play as high as they can, obviously, and managers really should manage as high as they can. But I must admit, you know, some of these regulations and these different levels now, when you're going into these you know, different levels in the pyramid, it's very difficult for clubs to make ends meet, to be honest with you. You know, because we don't have a massive playing budget at Sholin, and we're always going back to the same sponsors to, you know, to help us out, so to speak. And times are getting tougher, you know. Yeah. I mean, with the Brexit and things, and people are starting to hold on to their money now, and it's going to be difficult. And you know, we have got to be very, very careful. The FA's got to be very careful that it might be thinking it's helping the situation with the grassroots football, but I think really that they're harming it more than helping it, and that's just my opinion, really.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to try and get the FA on to answer a number of these questions.
We have got them on before,
when you can pin them down, they're responsive. So hopefully we'll get some answers for you, Dave. But in the meantime, enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy what you're doing, and best of luck at the weekend.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, win or lose, I'll be smiling, you know, because like I say, I'm a great believer in fate, and good luck to Chelsea as well. I mean, you beat Aberdeen, you know, you beat them.
Tough game as well, Dave. You know, real tough game. Nice people as well.
Decent side. Yeah, Michael Birmingham, you know, he's what he's doing down there.
Well, I remember him from when he played, when I was at Hendon, he was at Bognor with Jack Pearce, because they played very similar to Jack's teams, you know, just good football. And it was only afterwards when I got the name, as soon as I heard his name, I went, yep, got you. And it was a tight game that a couple of set pieces sort of was the difference, really, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't look at every FA VARS result, but I certainly looked at that one, and that one impressed me. So, you know, if we do manage to get through this round and get, you know, pulled against you, I'm sure it'll be a very competitive game.
Well, listen, we've both a big game in front of us, but I don't want to see you until there's an archway above us.
same here, to be honest. Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us again, Dave. Cheers, and, Dave. And we'll speak to you later on in the season.
Yeah, cheers. All the best.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
Dave, that was like a microcosm of the problems of being involved in non-league football, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Sometimes I have a bigger mouth than most people, and it sort of comes out that way. But Dave sort of sends similar stuff, and he's a little bit more refined, and, you know, it comes out of his... He can put it across a little bit better than me, but I do think we're in the same sort of place with it, you know.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this weekend's FA VARS.
Well,
Not.
I think ours will be what comes the week after, I feel.
Well, having just found out that the snow started falling in Sholing as well, I suppose they've got a frozen pitch for training this evening and can't do that. So maybe that one's in doubt as well.
And it's just, listen, we have to deal with this time of year, don't we? You know, it's part and parcel of our game. And
until the FA gives us all undersoil heating.
And listen, let's get a system that people understand. First, you know, that'll do, and then we'll go with the undersoil heating after that. I was just speaking to one of my staff members on the way in here, saying, you know, the logistics of now trying to sort out what we're going to do at the weekend, because we've a league game on Tuesday, and the league have kindly offered us to maybe try and get the game on Saturday that was called off because of the Vaz game, but effectively it's too late in the day, and it's a bit, it gets a bit messy, you know, which is no one's fault, but you just have to, and everyone who listens to the show who are involved in the others, you know, like organising and secretaries and that, will I'm sure will back me up and say that it's very hard work for people when the weather turns.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now, as well as the FA Vars this weekend, it's also FA Trophy. Third round, last 16. Not as many National League sides left in the competition at this stage as perhaps in previous seasons. So a good chance for those that are there to get to Wembley, especially if you're having a great week. Now, one club in trophy action who have been the talk of the nation this week are Barnet. And after a very impressive FA Cup draw on Monday with Brentford, focus this weekend is on the trophy trip to Carshalton Athletic. A busy week then for all involved, not forgetting an FA Cup replay now to come at Griffin Park. None busier, perhaps, than media officer Aaron Pullen, who joins us on the line. Good evening, Aaron. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show.
Good evening. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you on, and what a week to have you on as well. Have you been able to sit down and sort of take in everything that's been going on?
I had a little bit of time after the game, but that involved just a little bit of shock of how good that game was on Monday night. And then obviously we're all action stations now for Saturday and the trophy and then the replay on Tuesday night.
So as well as, you know, I've been there as a press officer for years, as well as organising all the pre-match media, which there was plenty going on Monday, obviously, the TV cameras there, plenty of global attention because you're the last non-league side left in it. You also do co-commentaries during matches as well. And then post-match, you then have to organise all the media interviews and things like that. How long would your working day on Monday?
I am very long. Very long. It was a long day. It was an early start. I think I got into the office about 8 a.m. and I don't think I left until after midnight.
Wow.
Just trying to make sure everyone went home happy from a media standpoint and got everything they wanted to, because for the club, we don't get media coverage or as much media coverage as we would like. So to have all this national and global attention, we had to harness every second of it.
Yeah, I mentioned I was there when Yedding got to the third round playing Newcastle, and they're moments that you're never going to forget, but you don't really have a chance to reflect on what's been achieved and celebrate all the coverage that you've been able to get for the club. And obviously you've had so many, it's such a good few weeks in FA Cup competition. You know, that first round replay at Bristol Rovers, and then third round victory against Sheffield United. And then obviously you've got a new manager in Darren Curry as well.
It's been a crazy, crazy few months. And you think Darren Curry, he was caretaker. His third game was that win at Sheffield. And in his first game as permanent head coach was the Brentford game. He's never, I'm not sure too many other non-league coaches, rookie coaches, have had the media attention thrown upon them as Darren Curry has.
To be fair, Aaron, he's an experienced guy, though, and he's been around the block and knows his stuff. I was going to ask, I just noticed that, and I haven't spoken to Junior, but seen Junior Lewis in the dugout. Has he joined you as well?
So Junior came in the summer alongside Darren and John Steele from
Dagenham. Oh, he came from Dagenham, right? Okay,
And Junior's now kind of, they've all kind of stepped up one.
Yeah.
Since John Steele's departure, so Junior is now the assistant coach, and to add to that, you know, Junior and Darren went to school together. And now they're coaching together and causing all these upsets together.
To be fair to Darren, you know, he's, people think he's new into it. He's vastly experienced, excellent footballer, technically very, very good. I think the two of them will be a really good fit for each other and the club.
Yeah, 100%. It's hoped that Darren can hopefully bring a little bit of stability to the club. I mean, he's had a baptism of fire and he seems to have come through it okay. We've been through a lot of managers in recent years. And it's hoped that hopefully Darren can be the man to turn and buck that trend.
I guess the vibe this week at the club must be like, you know, the highest it can possibly be. But the replay next Tuesday, I don't think that's got TV coverage. And then like the next round, there wouldn't be TV coverage. Is there a little bit of a dampener on that, learning that news?
There is a little bit. There's a little bit. But, you know, we had our night. We still had our night.
You had your night, and it was one of the best FA Cup games we've had for years. So everybody, it was one of those water cooler moments on Tuesday that everybody's talking about.
Why wouldn't you follow it up? Why wouldn't you follow? I don't get. I know, Aaron, you've got to, you know, be a little bit, you know, easy on it. But we don't. I think it's an absolute joke that the replay's not on TV.
I mean, from my standpoint, it means less media work for me. but no, it's a little bit upsetting. And what an advert we paid, not just for the FA Cup, but for the National League. Coming from behind twice. But the broadcasters, and they made their decision for whatever reason. And it's just now up to, I suppose, Brighton and West Brom to produce as equally good a spectacle.
Yeah, obviously FA Cup, that's this week just gone and then next week coming up, but you've got FA Trophy this weekend. How important is the FA Trophy to the club?
We want to go for it. It's been outlined. We had a Q&A in the summer and it was outlined that it's obviously a massive chance for us to go to Wembley. We haven't been to Wembley since I think it was the 60s or the 70s. Our current chairman, he's been here 25 years and the closest we came was a Johnston's Paint Trophy area final. So it's a big aim for us to take this seriously, and of course the boot's completely on the other foot from Monday night, from going from the underdogs now to the Giants trying to be killed by Carl Shelton.
Yeah, and I guess Darren's done all his research and that on Carl Shelton, but how as a club do you sort of change that dynamic that you've got all the spotlight on you on Monday night with Brentford coming to you, and then you're, you know, downsizing it in a way and going to Carl Shorten. It's a massive mental difference, isn't it, in those games?
Oh, 100%. And I think we've done it pretty well. We had it in the last round where we went the Saturday before we were away, we were at Sheffield United and went and won there. And the players then had to reset themselves for Dorchester Town at home. And they did it well. It's a challenge for maybe not a challenge, but for everybody at the club, from the players to adjust the right mentality, even down to, you think about the analysis department. It's so easy to get footage of Sheffield United and the Brentfords of the world, but when you come up against the Dorchesters and the Carl Sheltons, their whole dynamic's got to change for their whole week. So it's something we all have to adjust to, but hopefully we've done enough preparation and we're not going to take Carl Shelton easy by any stretch of the imagination, because they're going to want it as much as we did against Brentford.
Yeah, and you know, cup competitions are fantastic. The cup, the trophy, wonderful exposure and great money for the club as well. But yeah, the National League so tight as well. And you've got, what, 5 games in hand around most of those that are around you, but you're only 3 points off the drop zone. You always know that the club's at the bottom, you know, always put on a late spurt. You're only 15 points off the playoffs as well. So are all mindful at the club as well of how important the National League is to you as well?
No, 100%. The league is our bread and butter, and we've got aspirations. No offence to the National League, we don't want to be in it. We want to be back in the Football League as soon as possible. It's a notoriously difficult league to get out of. You just have to ask fans of Hartlepool and Wrexham. Wrexham, I think, have been stuck in it for almost a decade now, and they'd love to be back in the Football League. But we've got to do it sustainably. We've got to do it the right way. We haven't had the best start to the league this season, but who we're going to end up with after Saturday, 6 games in hand, and it's just about continuing on the current momentum when those games come around.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, and how big's your squad, Aaron? Because that'll be, all of a sudden the games pile up. I've a little bit of that with my own team, but that'll be a concern to the management.
We've got a big squad.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's thankful for from that standpoint. I think we've got over 30 pros at the moment, which is a
really
lot for this level. But I suppose when you have such a turnover of managers in so many years, they all bring in their own players. And
yeah, all contracted.
Relegation from the Football League means you lose your under-23 side, so you get all these players that would have been under-23s and now got nothing to play in. So and as much as we try and get friendlies, it's not the same for them. So
no. But sorry, I was just going to say that, you know, listen, I don't think you're in any trouble, but you'd like to get a few of them games in hand out of the way so you move up the table.
Oh, 100%. I think we've played two league games this calendar year in January.
And, wow.
I mean, as much as the Cups are obviously a nice distraction, we're under no illusion that we need to improve in the league. We've still got a chance with playoffs down to seventh place. We've still got a chance to have a late rally.
Yeah.
Of course, but we've also got to be mindful that not winning one or two of those games could see us in the position we don't want to be in.
And, you know, last question that I'm sure you won't be able to answer, but I've got to pose it. All this money that's pouring in from a magnificent cup run, will some of it find its way onto the manager's table for to invest?
I mean, obviously it's helped him with budgets.
Yeah.
And trying to get players in. Obviously, we've got a lot of players on the books at the moment.
Yeah, it's that balancing act.
Requirements. Obviously, we have to have meet certain budgets, and this cup run's helped no end to that extent. But it's certainly given him a little bit of negotiating room, shall we say.
We could say, yeah. Listen, I'm finished. That just send my regards to both of them, you know, to Darren and Junior, you know.
Of course.
Now, Aaron, obviously your job is to promote Barnet FC, and you're obviously doing a fantastic job there, but your true passion is another non-league club, isn't it?
It is. I am I'm a Chippenham Town fan.
So, the accent came out then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. I love non-league football. Non-league football is where I've always had my allegiances, and of course, my first year in professional work was started at a football league club, but now I'm back in a non-league. So I'm probably the luckiest one that I've adjusted to this drop down as much as any others, because this is the level and the facilities that I'm used to. That said, the gap between the National League and League Two now is every season on season is getting thinner and thinner.
Yeah, so is Chippenham your home club then? Is that's?
Yeah, Chippenham is my local team. Started supporting them. I think my dad took me to a game when I was about 2 or 3, and when I was 4, we made it to Wembley. So I think that was my first proper game was Wembley, in the FA Vars final, which sadly we lost. Final FA Vars final at the old Wembley,
yep.
And then I just to think how many Chippenham games I've been to throughout my childhood. Every weekend was spent travelling up and down, predominantly the south of the country, getting behind the team.
We had a discussion earlier about the importance of volunteers in football and,
absolutely.
You know, and bringing the younger blood through, and it's worked. Non-league football's got a new man.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. I, in my role at the moment, I get so many emails about how can I get into work, how can I do this. And my common response is go to the lower league clubs that are crying out for volunteers, crying out for help, and that's where you can make your name. I started not just supporting Chippenham, but I volunteered with them and started their social media platforms, and it's got me to where I am today in my current role at Barnet.
And now, you know, looking at those tables, you know, Chippenham, they're in sight of the playoffs in National South. Obviously, Barnet would love to make the national playoffs themselves, but if that didn't happen, you know, shipping them get promoted.
You know, he's full of mischief sometimes, you know.
What's that going to be like next season? You're facing up against, well, your own side.
Oh, let's put it that way. If that does happen and we do end up at Hard Jewish Park, I don't know whether I'd stand with my dad or sit in the press box. Of course, I think my employers would like me to say I'm in it for Barnet, but a 0-0 draw in that situation would be perfectly fine with me.
And that's like the diplomat you are as a PR officer. So you've learned your role so well in non-league football, and you know it's a. Barnet have been a credit to non-league this week, and so have you. And it's been, I'm so pleased that we were able to get you on, Aaron, because yours is a story. Yeah. You know, having been a press officer for years at a club, you don't get much thanks in that role, but you do work hard. You know, I say Barnet's your day job, but it sounds like it's your night job as well. And you know, it's nice that you're able to enjoy some experiences like you have this week.
No, thank you. And I'm fully aware with such a big week for the club that it was, and as the sole carrier of the non-league flag, it was important to just show off what is possible at this level. And of course, we're lucky with such good facilities, and we've been able to shake a few of the non-league stereotypes that we've seen. Even into this year, there's been high-profile comments about pitches and things like that, sort of like stereotypical comments, and we've had an opportunity to maybe shake a few of those, and hopefully we're doing justice to the non-league system.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, well done. Thank you for coming on, and hopefully we can be reporting.
I need to ask you a question because I haven't sort of had a look at Barnet for a while. Simeon Akinola was there last year. Has he moved?
No, Simeon's still here. He's been very unlucky with injury. He, in the penultimate game of last season, he picked up an injury to his cruciate ligament, which, as you know, is a very difficult injury to come back from. He's come back. He's just picked up a slight setback, but he should be back in full training within a few weeks.
One of my old players. Send half a Barnet my regards in a minute, but tell Simeon I said hello as well. Thanks.
And will do. Aaron again proving the worth of a press officer. You have to know so many things.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking I might get him here, you know, but no, not a chance.
Well, Aaron, thanks again for joining us, and good luck at the weekend, and good luck on Tuesday.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
Dave, I'm pleased we got Aaron on, because having been that press officer, you work so hard, and it's a bit like you were saying about secretaries. It's a thankless task sometimes.
It's the guy, you know, I tend to be the guy in front of the camera. You tend to be the guy behind it, doing all the... And don't get me wrong, when it goes wrong, I get the stick, but I'm the guy that gets the face and things, and people go, point, that's the guy. Whereas a lot of the work's done by press officers on that side of it. We just sort of stroll in and sit down and go, what have you done? And you've got to sort of ring. A bit like this show, Tim. You know,
we just turn up and it just happens.
I turn up and it just clicks in the gear. But they do a great job. And it's such a hard job at times, because you've got to get people when they sometimes they don't want to be spoken to. You've got to have a real demeanor about you that's warm, and you have to read people's moods and how to deal with them, and it's a position I've never envied. I've always enjoyed watching how people deal with it, and I've always tried to, believe it or not, I've always tried to make sure I'm hospitable no matter what my mood is. But tough job, but you do get on the inside. You know, if for people out there who want to get involved in football.
Well, it's like I'm saying, he started out at Chippenham Town, and obviously he's in non-league again with Barnet, but he started in the Football League, and he's been on global media this week. It proves if you put in a bit of hard graft, like being a manager at step five or lower, and learn luck. Your trade. And
a bit of luck, and you go for it, and as I say, listen, he sounds as if he's doing a good job as well.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have ended up in this hot seat here. Or cold seat, as it is, but yes.
Yeah, there's not much hot in here tonight. I'm sitting on the radiator, to be fair.
Well, it's better than sitting on the fence.
It is, yeah. Well, ain't the fence big enough.
So time to head over to non-league paper towers, and we've got Matt Badcock, senior writer at the non-league paper, with us. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hopefully looking forward to a great weekend of football if we can all beat the weather. And well, we've got FA Vars and FA Trophy coming up.
And it's going to be, if the games are on, it's going to be thermals and hats and gloves, isn't it, for Saturday? But yeah, some great games, some lots to look forward to, isn't there?
Yeah, to talk about the FA Trophy first. It's such a it's a big game for anybody that's involved there, because there aren't so many of the National League sides involved, and you've got big names taking on one another. Yeah, Leighton Orient, Blyth Spartans is a massive game, whatever division that be played in. Salford, Maidstone. If you're one of the smaller clubs, you know, Ramsbottom already sort of got rid of Weymouth in the earliest round, and they're at home to Defiled. You've got fancy your chances of making your way to Wembley, haven't you?
Yeah, I think over the last few years, we've seen the sort of teams from lower levels, lower league, not, you know, below step one, getting to the final. We had obviously Brackley won it last year, North Ferriby won it a few years ago, Gosport Borough have got there. So there is a real sort of chance for clubs outside of step one to get there and get to Wembley. And there's sort of the likes of Spennymoor, who've obviously been there and won the FA Vars. And someone may be able to correct me, but if I'm sure that if Jason Ainsley got Spennymoor then won it, he'd be the first to win the trophy in the Vars. I'd be interested if anyone knows anything to the contrary on that. But
have you just thrown that out to the non-league community? That'd be answered within 5 minutes of this going live.
Well, look, I need an answer, because every time I say it, I think, is that right? But I've got it buried in my head from a few years ago when Gosport got there under Alex Pike, and he'd won the Vars with Wimborne. And I remember getting it checked out by the FA historian, and it was... I'm sure that was right, so I'm sure I'm right in saying it again, but I'm happy to be corrected, as always. But, yeah, so it's a great opportunity for lots of clubs to get there. Ramsbottom really have been one of the great stories, haven't they, of the competition so far. Obviously going down to Weymouth, I think with 17 fans the other week for a replay, and on a Tuesday night and winning Chris Wilcock. He's been to the Vars as well. He took Gloucester North End there, but they were runners up, so he knows how to get to Wembley. But a great game to look forward to for everyone at Ramy, with Fylde coming to town, and you know, obviously a competition. Fylde will probably think they can go far, and I think it always gets to this stage. You get through this round, and you get down to that final eight, and then it's really a sort of game on, isn't it?
Yeah, and you look at the trophy attendances this year, though, and they've been down. But do maybe people now get excited at this stage of the competition, and also with bigger opposition maybe coming to them? Yeah, Ramsbottom, a great home tie this time round.
Yeah, I think there's always sort of a dip off in trophy attendances, isn't there? And I think it's often the same in cup competitions. Can be like that. I mean, sort of the round just before Christmas is always a bit of a bad one, isn't it, when all the National League clubs come in. And I think it's just because of the time of the year and the fact that you're going to save some pennies, you're maybe not going to go to a trophy game at that stage while you're out doing your Christmas shopping and all that sort of thing. But I think as we get on, it starts to become more and more of a possibility. And you know, you never see sort of people not bothering to go to the final, do they, when their club gets there, because it's such a big thing. I always think it's like the Europa League. People always sort of moan about it, but I've never seen an empty stadium in the final, so it's obviously worth winning, isn't it? But you know, I think it is getting to this stage now where clubs will really sort of see that route through, and when you get so close, then it starts to become a real sort of possibility, because chance to play at Wembley is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you're into your cup football, then the FA Vars as well this weekend, but a little bit tainted by two of the sides that have made this round being thrown out because of ineligible players.
Yeah, it's just something just is so disappointing to see, and unfortunately it seems to happen every year that, you know, not it's in leagues as well, isn't it, with points deductions. I think last season there was, you know, I don't know how many asterisks is there on some of the Northern Premier League tables at one point. There's a real flurry of clubs getting deducted points and all these sort of registration things. It was something we did ask, or the FA did speak about last week in the paper in their column, and sort of say, you know, you have to, it's such a difficult job being a secretary, and unfortunately mistakes are going to get made because of the thing. But you know, there needs to be a better way of doing it, because it's can't be a coincidence that so many clubs are falling foul of it over time.
Yeah, I think it may be extra difficult this year by the new tournament rules for cautions. Two yellow cards in the same in an FA competition, it leads to a caution, at least to a ban later on in a competition, rather than just, you know, all counting in the same competition. I think that's complicated it. But
two bookings doesn't seem like a huge amount either through our competition either to me.
I mean, it almost
I know it's like that in the World Cup and things. But.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost different in a World Cup, isn't it? Because it almost morally, this is a discussion I've had with other people. Does it, you know, maybe lead to people maybe taking a second booking because they think, oh, we might make it through to two rounds forward, so we'll take a ban in this next game? And because they do that in the World Cup, don't they? They you know, you get two group games and then you get a booking just so that you miss the third group game, and then you know you're going to be ready for the next round. And it's a nice idea, but is whether the practicalities of it all thought through. And also, you know, with administration, as you say, who'd want to be a secretary? It's the most stressful job in football, and there's plenty of those around.
Yeah, it is, and it's one of those where if you make a mistake, it's actually, you know, mistakes like that, or, you know, you don't realise something or something gets overlooked, or and often it might not even be the secretary's fault, then that's it, isn't it? You kind of, thanks for coming, you're done, and, you know, all that hard work that goes in is kind of wasted for a, you know, I just... Everyone wants to see football decided on the pitch, and more things are happening that, you know, like I say, point selections and clubs getting kicked out of competitions. And, you know, it's just, you know, a secretary's job is just so stressful. And I think the way the world is now and the way things are changing, you can't see how so many things are happening like that. I mean, there must be better ways of doing it.
Well, it is when you can send money via a thumbprint or something, or within an instant, and it just seems that maybe the technology behind all the bookings and the system, it should just like jump up in your face as a secretary and tell you can't play this person. You know, there must be a way that we can use technology, even at our level. You know, I don't want VAR coming in at step four, so we stop the game every 5 minutes. But there must be some use of technology that we could get to grips with. And you know, FA love to be testing things with us, like with sim bins and various things like that at grassroots level. So let's see if with it as an admin system, and yeah, maybe there must be a fan out there that develops this sort of software. Get step forward, and then we'll do the introductions that need to be done.
Yeah, it's be, you know, it's difficult because you can't, not everyone can remember everything. You can ask a player if they've been booked, and you know they don't always know, and
particularly when they join you from another club.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's sort of a bit of a dark cloud over this weekend's FA Vars ties. But there are the clubs there. The clubs are playing, and yeah, it's a great opportunity for smaller clubs to be successful. There's some names that we've come across time and time again. Yeah, Hebburn, West Auckland Town. But then it also shows, you know, how things can change in non-league football. You've got Histon against Northwich Victoria.
Yeah, definitely, and that's one that really does stand out, isn't it? Because I think it's 10 years ago that Histon were. That was 10 years ago. This was the season that they beat Leeds United in the FA Cup, and they were flying high in the conference and pushing for the Football League. And Northwich were in the conference at that time as well, and they were sort of struggling a little bit this same season. But yeah, here we are 10 years on, and they're sort of both step five clubs and in the FA Vars. And you know, I've sort of spoken to Histon this year, and I think they feel they're sort of hopefully on the up again. And you know, what a name they were for sort of those years of all their cup exploits and you know, village club almost going to the Football League. But they could get to Wembley as well. That would be incredible for them. But you say Northwich would be thinking exactly the same as such a famous name in non-league football as well. And they've had their FA Cup sort of exploits over the years. And there's sort of Scholing, isn't there, playing Sporting Kelso. Obviously, that's Kelso have got back in because of the because of Manchester Rovers, which I said being thrown out. But Scholing know what it's all about. They've been there and won it before under Dave Diper. I think it's pretty much the same team. They've been together many, many years, and they'll fancy another day out at Wembley. And there's lots of, it's getting down to this stage now, isn't it, where you get through and then suddenly it becomes a possibility. I always find when you interview FA VARs managers throughout the competition, they sort of don't really quite want to talk about it, but when it gets to this stage, just sort of admit
you can,
that
you just maybe hear that little lilt in their voice, can't you? It's a little bit more excited.
And what about Dave Anderson as well? His boy's going up to
Mr. Anderson, lots to talk about on his trip to Manchester, providing it beats the weather, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But so FA VARs, you know, something to get excited about as well. But as ever, the non-league world keeps us baffled. On the managerial front, I spoke with Alex last week about Craig Hignett coming in as manager at Hartlepool and Richard Money effectively moving upstairs, and then he's moved out this week. So, you can never predict anything in non-league, can you?
You can't predict anything in non-league, and, you know, it's sort of a strange situation, and so he spoke to Richard when he went in, and he really felt he could go there and make a difference and turn the club around and sort of be what they needed. But obviously that's changed very quickly. I think he's obviously gone in there and been very honest about it and said he's not the man for the task. And Craig's now in the dugout and sort of speaking to Craig this week. He sort of saying, you know, I was telling all these, he was director of football there, wasn't he? He's obviously been manager there before, but he's saying, you know, I've been telling all these prospective managers what a great club it is and, you know, what a great job it is without sort of really sort of thinking about myself for it. So he's sort of pleased to be back in. He wants to be a coach and, you know, wants to do it. And as we sort of said to him, if someone's got to get it right there at Hartlepool, and if it whoever that man is, if it can be him, then, you know, that would be a fantastic achievement to get him back into the Football League. I think you were sort of saying, you know, when he was there before, that there was lots of things going on off the pitch and the club's much more stable now off the pitch and behind the scenes, and it's just getting it right on the field now.
Yeah, it's an interesting time of year, just after the Christmas break, and, you know, you get a number of clubs trying to make a change because, you know, they're near the drop zone or they want to push on for playoffs and that sort of, but they normally revert to people that they know. So like Craig Hignett there at Hartlepool, and you've got Mark Yates going back to Agra managing the Kidderminster Harriers.
Yeah, Mark's gone back there. He's I spoke to him as well this week. He said he's as much as he loves his dog, he's bored of walking her every morning, and he's sort of pleased to be back. And I think the fact that it's Kidderminster, a club where he started out his management career, sort of makes it, you know, he's got a real affinity for the club. He played there as well, and he's sort of given him that desire to go in and see if he can make a big difference. They've obviously had some disappointing results recently. They've sort of slipped out of the playoffs, but they're still right in the mix, and they've got some talented players at Kiddy. And if Mark can sort of go in there and really get them going, much like he did at Solihull last year when he came in with Tim Flowers, and then they sort of got a real chance. Obviously, he went to Macclesfield in the summer, it didn't quite work out for him there. So I think this is a real sort of challenge to get back into. I think it's to the end of the season for now, and they're just going to see how it goes. But again, that's another club that if you can get that place rocking, then you know, it's a club of real potential to go on and go higher.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned about the thermals. Where are you off to this weekend? Are you ironing those thermals ready for the weekend?
The thermals are always ready to go, even wherever I am. And I'm thinking about purchasing some of those, you know, those hot things that you sort of break and put in your gloves. I think that's my next. Well, I'm definitely getting wimpier as I go on in this.
You don't carry your own seat cushion with you now. I'm finding, as I'm getting older, the plastic seats in stands, they seem to impact more.
Too much, isn't it? I've heard a rumour about like a heated jacket as well that I want to check out. It's sort of, I don't know quite how that works, but I think I could be in for it. But to answer your question, every time I speak to you, I'm in the office, so that's where I'll be. I'll be nice and warm in the office. I'll be looking out the window and seeing the, no doubt, sleet and snow come down.
Yeah, hopefully not having to write extra copy because of all the games that have been lost to the weather.
Praying that the games are all on. We sort of have a very tentative peep out of the curtain on Saturday morning to see what we're faced with, because Saturdays are interesting when all the games go off, but it doesn't make the paper less worth buying it.
No, I mean, you've already told us a few bits and pieces that we can read this weekend. What else can we expect to be finding out about on Sunday?
Well, talking of cold temperatures, I actually had a
met up with a young lad who's just signed at Hendon on dual registration from St Albans, and it's Jacob Gardner-Smith, and he's telling me about his early start of his career. He's actually been out in Russia playing for Zenit St Petersburg in their sort of their under-21s and their under-23s, and he was training out there in temperatures of minus 25. So
when I sort of learnt about his background and that, I was wondering, you know, like when players disappear with kit from the clubs that they play for and never quite hand it all back as they should, when you're out in touch temperatures like that, do you get club gloves as well? Has he come back with Zenit St Petersburg gloves?
Well, he actually said that they had to... they would have to take their own training kit in and out, and they'd wash it, and you know, sort of all about, I guess, keeping them down to earth and all that sort of thing. And he was telling a story about one of his mates who one time turned up in the minus 25 and opened his bag to realise that he didn't have all his warm gear. So, and he had a quite a cold training session in shorts and a thin rain jacket. So, but so we can't really moan over here, but yeah, it could be a tricky weekend.
Now, our kit managers look after people too well, don't they?
They do. They are very warm, those jackets, aren't they, that people sort of want to grab onto.
Yeah. Well, thanks as ever, Matt. I'll let you go and, plan your weekend ahead, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, that's it for this week. A big thank you to Dave Anderson for being with me.
Pleasure.
And a big thank you to all of our guests and everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Mr. at Dave Anderson, at Dave Anderson 78, and myself at Tim Fuel. You can find us every week on Audio Boom as well. Also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Smart Speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA, JABBA, JABBA.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.